What a blessing. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the New Testament book of Romans, to the first chapter of the book of Romans. I think when preachers are preaching, sometimes they try to say many things, when in reality we need to condense the message to one thing. And I am trying my best with God's help to give you one thing in this brief message. You remember in the book of Romans, we began with Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God. And he talks about the gospel, about Jesus Christ. He repeats the phrase concerning his son Jesus Christ in the third verse. And then he talks about the power that God declares and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The great pinnacle thing, the thing that is behind all other things, is that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. When you come down to the 12th verse, and he's writing the church there, he says, "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith." If you've never marked that expression, I'd like you to mark that expression. The mutual faith, both of you and me. And that's what we're dealing with when we talk about the Lord Jesus. Especially in a meeting like this, we come together and you consider the faith I have, I consider the faith you have. And the Bible refers to it as mutual faith. The object of our faith is the Son of God. The final authority in our faith is the Word of God. The sole authority is the Word of God. The power we have in our faith is the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to family. When you're speaking to me and thinking of me, you're thinking of family. What we have in common is Christ. I want you to keep that in your mind. Always Christ. Now, the two things I want to connect into one thing and leave this thought with you. And that is that our behavior is always determined by our belief. How many of you know someone you'd like to see changed? Well, they have to have their belief changed. How many times is there something in your life you know you struggle with and you'd like to be victorious in that matter in your life? Then it's directly connected to your thoughts and belief in the Lord. I want to show you something. When we travel into this first chapter, the Bible says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." And then we come to the 17th verse of chapter 1. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." In other words, mutual faith. You have faith. I have faith. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus. And the righteousness of God is revealed from one person who has faith to another person who has faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. And we're living in troubled times. There's no doubt about that. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "In the last days perilous times shall come." And I want to say they've arrived. They're here. So what do we do about it? How do we behave in these perilous times? This is a special time of year when people are called upon to give thanks. To whom? Thanks to God. I'm going to show you something. Beginning with verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The idea is they're trying to hold down or hold back the truth. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Remember that. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolishness, their foolish heart was darkened. God says they weren't thankful. They lost gratitude. The most precious thing about a church or a Christian is that that person or that church is grateful. The most ridiculous thing in anyone's life is to see people living their lives without any kind of gratitude. And this is a moment to be reminded that our gratitude should be in our God, what He's done. Grateful. And Satan is always trying to blind us to the Lord. The Bible says in the next chapter, so many precious things, but notice verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, in other words, you can't understand the argument that is being given logically given to us in chapter 2 of Romans unless you are aware of what God has talked to us about in chapter 1. And the most evil behavior imaginable is described in the closing part of chapter 1. And the Bible says in verse 29 of chapter 1, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters of inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, nothing satisfies them, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is a horrible description of human beings who have not given God His proper place in their lives. Then you come to this powerful word in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, because all of this exists, therefore, because we're dealing with all these things, and we are, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. Whosoever thou art that judgeth, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Then we come to this wonderful fourth verse. And most of the time we read this fourth verse I'm about to read to you and disconnect it from everything else that's been given to us in the book of Romans. But here it is. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? In other words, all our behavior is connected to our view of God. Everything we do in life is connected to our view of God. If you need to get straightened something out in your life or your home or your family, it's not about your life solely or not about your family. It's about a relationship with God. If you want to get anything right, you have to get right with God. You have no right behavior unless your belief system is right. And that's what I must deal with in my own personal life. What place have I given the Lord in my life? When I don't give the Lord His rightful place, nothing else is right. Hold your place here just a moment and turn with me back in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus. The very first of the Ten Commandments that we find in the book of Exodus, in the 20th chapter, the Bible says, "And God spake all these words, saying," verse 2 of Exodus chapter 20, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." And the very first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I want you to write down something and remember the connection. Before there is immorality, there's always idolatry. Immorality, any of these behaviors God talks about, anything that's wrong in the world, anything that disturbs you, you're seeing people do, is always connected to idolatry. When we don't give the Lord His rightful place, then we see that coming out again and again in so many different ways in our behavior. My wife and I are the father of two children, you know. The grandparents of six beautiful children, you know. And if I want something changed in their behavior, I can't change it. I can't change it by simply saying that's not the way it ought to be. It is connected to their view of God. If there's something going on in this church or in your life that shouldn't be going on, we say we've got to stop that or we've got to start that, whatever it may be. It's impossible to change it unless we deal with our view of God. The higher, more exalted we give to the Lord and our view of God, having no other God before us, determines everything about our behavior, our actions, and our reactions. And here we are on the threshold of a new year. And you and I know something. We know many things, but one thing we know, that God wants to do so much more with our lives and our church, our homes and our families. He wants to do so much more. But we don't accomplish that by trying to do the more. I can give you all sorts of plans and ideas, goals, objectives. I've given out lists like that. But nothing will change and nothing will be what it ought to be unless our view of God improves like it ought to improve. The Bible says the goodness of God and understanding the goodness of God leads us to repentance. What does that mean? It means a change of heart that brings about a change of direction. See, repentance is not just a one-time thing we do when we come to Christ and repent of our sin and trust Christ by faith as Savior. Repentance becomes for the Christian a way of life. That God is right, we're wrong, we agree with the Lord. And the goodness of God leads us to repentance. I've made the wrong goal of so many things, and so have you. I've been given the responsibility of the pastor of this church. That's not just like being a member of this church. I am a member of this church. I'm identified with this body of believers. But God has assigned me the responsibility to lead this church. It's not some responsibility you've given me. You allow it to take place. But it's something God has called me to do. I felt years ago when this church called me to be their pastor that there was a marriage between the church and the pastor. I still feel strongly that way. But what is my job? My job is to guide you to God and for you to allow the Lord to be the Lord in your life. And when you allow the Lord to be the Lord in your life that He desires to be, our behavior will comply with what His desire is, what He wants. I want that so much for my own life. Aren't you tired of trying to force people to do things? Aren't you tired of trying to talk people into doing things? Aren't you tired of just seeing all the wrong? What needs to be righted in every life is their view of the Lord and the place they give the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's what everybody else needs, that's what you and I need. I just want to brag on the Lord. I want to keep Him in His rightful place. And I know what that will do. That'll keep my heart soft toward Him. It'll keep my life lined up in obedience to Him. You can't help but rub people the wrong way when you're trying to lead. People never get it all right. And no leader gets it right because someone doesn't want to be led. But the thing that corrects all of that is the individual getting the right view of God. A mother contacted me this week and said, I love my children. And I'm certain of that. This mother has demonstrated her love for her children. And she said, I'm praying for my children. I'm certain of that. And she went on to say, I want what God wants for my children. I want the best for my children. I am absolutely certain of that. And she says in a conversation with me, written, there's some things that need to change. And she's talking about behavior. And I thought again, it's not going to change. It's never going to change until that child that she loves has a change of view and attitude about God. That will produce the change that ought to take place in the life of that child. So let's stop knocking on the behavior door and start giving attention to the belief door. Because the right belief is all that's going to change the bad behavior. Get your eyes on the Lord. Pray for your pastor that he'll have his eyes on the Lord. That I'll have the goals for my life and for this church that will please the Lord. In one way, it's an easy thing to be a pastor in a place for a long time. It really is. Because you know the people trust you and believe you and hear what you say. But in another way, it's a difficult thing. Because the leader and the people must keep their eyes on Christ and who He is. And not even trust the preacher or the pastor to do what only God can do for their lives. So may all of us work on giving the Lord His rightful place. To see Him as we ought to see Him. And He'll transform our lives into the behavior that will please Him. Idolatry will come before immorality. Belief determines behavior. If I want to get behavior right, I've got to get belief right.